Pete, that last little bit you were saying, because the tape came to an end and I just now turned it over about when your mother's drinking problem came up.
Right. When she started drinking heavily, then she and Dad didn't get along as well as before because she argued a lot when she was drinking. She always found fault with something. And so there were lots of arguments. So they began to get distant and not be as close as they had been when they were younger and when we were smaller children. And I'm sure the drinking had a lot to do with that. But I don't feel that their arguing really influenced me to have this kind of a relationship with my husband, because I didn't like the arguing and I felt that it was wrong. And I don't feel that being exposed to that had any influence on the arguments that I had with my husband.
The arguments that you and your husband had were coming from a different kind of a source.
Right.
Why do you think your mother, the drinking, when people drink, things come out, but nothing comes out that isn't already in them.
That's true. My mother was a very kind, good person when she was sober. And she would let these hostilities build up in her. Somebody would do something she didn't like or say something. Then when she was drinking, it all came out. And believe me, it really came out. You know, she would yell and scream at you. And then when she was sober, she never did this. But these hostilities were things that built up in her. And then when she was drinking, it just, you know, would all come loose. Mm-hmm. And she would.
Whereas with you and your husband, when you would have differences, you would express them
right
along, right?
Neither of us drank. Mm-hmm. So this had no problem with us. But we just would have disagreements and are always arguing. He was a person that wanted everything to be done his way, and he found it very hard to trust other people or to consider their opinions. If there was a decision to be made, he felt it should be his way or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to cooperate or to try to get along with a person like this, because I'm an individual and I have my own ideas about things too. And we could never discuss it and decide what would be best. It just had to be his way or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found this is true in other aspects of his life, where he works. I'm acquainted with some of the fellas, and they say that this quite often comes out in him, that he wants things his way.
But in your early married life, you said you really enjoyed creating a situation where everything was his way.
Yes.
And you got happiness from that.
I did.
When did that start breaking down, when his wanting everything his own way kind of start getting in the way and being unpleasant instead of?
After several of years, maybe 8 or 10 or 12 years, I began to feel inferior to him, because I did things for him and he never appreciated it. I would cook a delicious meal and maybe he wasn't hungry, so he wouldn't even go to the table. And I began to feel that he didn't appreciate me and was taking me for granted. And after a while, I just felt, you know, there's no use to do this for him anymore. He doesn't appreciate it. He just expects it of me. And he used to make remarks, sarcastic remarks to me, if I would, you know, mention, well, look, you know, I've done this today, you know, don't you think it's kind of nice? Like, you know, maybe you did the yard or something. He'd say, well, what's a woman for? It was just as if he expected me to do these things with no praise in return, or just, and I just got tired of it. He didn't appreciate what I was doing.
What things do you think, when Kathy gets to an age to start thinking about getting married or settling down, what do you think are the kinds of characteristics in a husband that are important? Things other than the romantic things that we think about when we're getting married the first time, usually.
You know, this is such a problem. Children at this age, in their teens, so often base their relationship on a physical love. This person is attractive and fun to be with. You should look more as to what their personality is and what they're going to be 15 years from now. I think you have to have common interest, because this is something that you can build a relationship on. You have to enjoy doing the same kind of things. Perhaps it can be music or art or just the love of nature and being able to go outside together for a walk. You have to have basic common interest. This will lead you together as life goes on together. You will be able to talk about the things you like, the things you have in common. Where if you have nothing in common and you're each going your own way and doing your own thing, you're going to go farther apart and you're not going to have the closeness that a good lasting marriage has to be built on.
As you look around with the other couples that you know, people that you know, do you find many situations where the man is equally willing to give as the woman, or is the situation that you found yourself in more common where the man expects the woman to give and doesn't give as much in return?
I think most couples give equally. A lot of the couples I know, most of my friends I associate with from church, and I find that they give equally. At our church dinners, the husbands help take care of the children while the women are fixing the food, and I really think they share. And I know couples that both work and they come home at night and share in the housework. And I think this is the best relationship where you both share, when you can both do special things for each other. And just to let each other know that you do appreciate you and care. Mm-hmm. This is important. And I think you both have to do it. If it's a one-sided affair where one person's doing all the giving, pretty soon you know that the other person doesn't appreciate and you don't want to give anymore.
But in a way, in the generation that the three of us are all a part of, a lot of girls were raised to feel that that's what they were supposed to do, to give and to get their satisfaction from giving and not expect to have it, you know, be a more equal exchange. Like one of the other ladies we talked to today was saying, well, where did you get your ideas about marriage? From talking to your mother? And she said, no, from reading True Romances. And just a, you know, real unrealistic approach to it.
So then what is the question?
I don't know, I'm spacing out. Been talking about this stuff all day long.
How do you overcome your rearing, I guess, is the question. If you're reared to be a subservient woman, to wait on a man to do what he wants.
How
do you overcome that? Yeah. Well, you have overcome it.
Yeah.
You get up on your hind feet and you do something about it. But it's a hard situation, isn't it? I mean, what advice could you give to a woman who finds herself in that kind of situation?
I think a woman is supposed to give to her husband. I mean, he's the person that she married and he's number one in her life. And I think she should take every opportunity to do something special for him. But in return, he's going to have to do something special for her occasionally too. You know, take her out on her birthday or just do little things to let her know that he does care and appreciate her. I think the most important thing, if a woman is really giving a lot of herself and special attention to her husband, is for him just to let her know that he appreciates it. I think that's all any woman would want, if she's willing to give, is just to know that it's appreciated.
Well, we covered a lot of subjects there.
I run out of subjects. Is there any... anything that you might have to say to women who say have been married 10, 12 years and find themselves drifting into the situation that you found yourself in? Any advice you would have for people?
Definitely seek counseling and try to work it out. Divorce is the worst thing that could happen to a family. It doesn't only affect you too, but it affects the children even more. They need their home and the security of their both of their parents together. And my first advice would be try to work it out with the help of minister, perhaps fellowship through your church, and with professional counseling through the mental health center. They have very good programs. And try to understand what's happened and to correct it, and don't let it continue. You can get into this little pattern of arguing and drifting apart, and pretty soon it's just so far apart that it's just gone. And if you can just in the beginning, I think back so many times, if I could just go back, that I know it could have been different.
If you had taken some action
before it got too far out of hand. After a while, there's so many hard feelings, there's been so many things said and done, that it's like it's almost impossible to forgive and forget it all. There's just so much that's happened. And if you can realize your problem before all of this has happened and get some help from somebody else, it'll work.
But don't you think a lot of people have the feeling, well, I'm a man or I'm a woman, and it's my responsibility to work out my own problems, and would tend maybe to think about going to a mental health center perhaps or for counseling, but not do it because they sort of see it as a sign of weakness, or what will people say? Did you worry about that at all?
No, I
didn't. What will my family think? What will my friends think if I go for
counseling? I felt that I was doing the best thing I could to try to help. And I felt it was the right thing because my minister sent me there. Mm-hmm. And I feel it's the right thing. I don't think it's a sign of weakness. Everybody comes to a certain point in their life at times that you really don't know what to do. And this is the time that you need the help of a professional. And they can be helpful. They can't solve your problem, but they can make you deal with it, teach you how to deal with it, just help you understand what's happening and why. They can make you think about things that you hadn't even considered that were involved. And it is beneficial.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mary.
Yeah, that's great.
They really can be helpful.
Yeah.